pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We continue second hour. We've talked already about the SEC news today. The tournament begins officially tomorrow. The play-in games continue, and more of your phone calls right here. Booker in New Jersey. Hello, Booker.
Hey, Paul. Good day to you. I'm really enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I have one plea I wanted to make. Hello?
Oh, yeah. No, Booker, we're here. We're not going anywhere.
Well, why don't you start the NIT of callers? Some of us had a bad year, but I think we do pretty good in the NIT of callers on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Yeah, we've decided not to do that. We only have 32. Is that right in the bracket? We think it's a good number. And by the way, there is no question, Booker. As we roll on here, there are a number of callers that I have heard or thought about that we probably should have put in. There's no rhyme or reason. Certain callers were put in for certain reasons. Just because you're not in the bracket doesn't mean you're not a good caller. It just means that, I mean, remember, this is the WWE here. We're just trying from, we're playing around with matchups. This is not real.
I got you. One comment on the Saban story.
Right.
I've been a preacher since August the 20th, 1961, and I've been pastoring since 1963, still doing it. And the landscape has changed, and sometimes we can, the theology may stay the same, but sometimes how it's applied can change. And then the group that you start getting, the group of kids that you're getting now, they see that when they look and see that they're third on the depth chart, they transfer. And I don't want to stir anything, but as some of the guys, as they get older, might start sounding like the plantation owners did in the Reconstruction period. The slave now could go in and work on another plantation. It seemed like that's what a kid then is. He's recruited. He's a four-star recruit. He gets on a good team like Alabama, and you know I'm going to throw Ohio State, and then all of a sudden he's third or fourth on the depth chart. He's out of there. So Saban was maybe right just to go out now, because it's not going to go back, it seems, to the way it was.
Oh, no, you're 100% right. And by the way, interesting comment today made by Kurt Ferentz about Caden Proctor, who's going back to Alabama as soon as the portal opens. He essentially said, you know, we got him back here. He had originally committed to Iowa. And after the kid took our last NIL dollar, he hightailed it out. Well, Kirk, that's what this is all about. Don't be surprised. You should have figured out a way to keep him, give him the money, and make sure he doesn't leave. Brad is up next in Macon. Hello, Brad.
Mr. Paul, I hope you guys are doing well up there in Charlotte.
You're doing great.
Hey, I am on the campaign trail. I'm on the campaign trail to put it on Larry from Shelby's butt. But some news got to me, Paul. You ain't going to believe this. I was told that somebody over there in Shelby got pulled over for DUI on a lawnmower going to the liquor store. Now, you wouldn't know who that would be, would you?
I have not read much news out of Shelby, the Shelby County Reporter today. I'll see if I can call it up online. By the way, that is the real name of a newspaper. I used to live in that county.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right, Mr. Paul, for real, about the scheduling, can I make a couple points about that scheduling?
I wish you would.
Okay, eight games versus the nine. I like the eight, and the reason that is a couple of good reasons. Number one, you take a college town in Macon like Mercer. We play the Alabamas. We play the Auburns. And those games actually fund our facilities out here. And have you ever been to Macon and have you looked at Mercer's facilities, Mr. Paul?
No.
Top notch. I mean, it is incredible. And we wouldn't be able to do it unless teams like that got a chance to play Alabama and Auburn. So I like the 18 format. And the other reason is on games like that, you pretty much know it's going to be a beatdown. And it gives the starters a chance to rest and to kind of rehab and recoup. And it also gives the younger players a chance to get on the field.
I understand all that. Let me explain it from a media standpoint. ESPN pays billions of dollars for the rights to televise those games, and as much money as it means to Mercer, and I'm happy that you have good facilities, who wants to watch that game?
That's a very good point. But
that's where the money comes from. I know a lot of schools benefit, and I'm happy that they do because they have great football and great people, but ultimately this is one entity spending billions of dollars and trying to determine if we spend more money, will we get better games? And the Mercer game, what's Alabama's first game this year? I can't even remember. It's so forgettable. Western Kentucky or something like that. These are games that people just don't want to watch. And that's just speaking truth, not trying to sugarcoat it. Susie is up next. Western Kentucky is Alabama's opener. Susie is in Georgia. Hello, Susie.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call today.
Thank you.
Couple comments. I really, really enjoyed your interview yesterday with UT's Big O.
Yes, he was good.
What an outstanding young man, not just football, but just, you know, talking about what he does to put forth, you know, to give back, I guess, so to say, speak or whatever. So I really, really enjoyed that with him. Thank you again for how well you interview and bring these young, you know, these young players on for us to listen to, too. So you took a pretty bad beating yesterday, Paul. I was at a baseball game, so I didn't, and I DVR you, I've told you that, and I watched about 4 hours every single day, and so I came home and watched, and wow, beginning of that show, you were put, you know, on the hot seat pretty bad, but the way you handle everything is just positive. Your character is beyond, you know, anything.
Thank you.
So thank you again for that. Thought I'd give you my top four for, you know, at the end of March Madness is, it doesn't really matter, you know, you probably don't care about our top four or whatever, but just to tell you a little bit about myself, I was always college football, watching that all the time, and really didn't watch a lot of college baseball, basketball, until the last, probably five years. And when people would give me a bracket, I would pick my teams. Let's see, if they were Catholic, I would choose them. And then I would go with the colors of their uniforms and how I liked them. That's how I picked my brackets. So needless to say, I never won. But this year, I have UConn, North Carolina, Duke, and Tennessee.
Well, thank you very, very much. I agree with you on Tennessee. We're up against the break. Seth Emerson on the new announcement today from the Southeastern Conference. He's next from The Athletic.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This is from The Athletic as we continue here. Kirby Smart says coach is not trying to leave. There's no crying out there on my end. Okay, Seth joining us now. Seth, I'm going to play stupid here, to act like I've never met Kirby Smart, don't know what he's talking about. So explain to me and everyone else what exactly is going on here.
Well, this has been the narrative for, I don't know, the last 3 months or so especially, that coaches are tired of the portal, the NIL, the calendar, and that they're leaving in droves or trying to leave in droves for the NFL or wherever. And something that was cited by the Boston College, now former coach, when he took a defensive coordinator job with the Packers, I believe it was. But the data doesn't really back that up. Like, it's not like that's actually happening, that many coaches are leaving more than normal. But are coaches unhappy with the state of things? Are they unhappy that they have players leveraging the portal to get more NIL, that they don't have as much control over their roster anymore? Yeah, sure they are. Especially, I think they're mostly, well, maybe not mostly, but they don't like the calendar, and that's being worked on. But yeah, they're frustrated by it. But what Kirby was saying, and this is, I actually asked him about that part of it yesterday at his presser. He made the comments about NIL at the Macon Touchdown Club when someone asked him about Saban. And I don't know if Kirby and Nick have talked since he retired. I would imagine they've exchanged a text, or at least I think Nick texts. We're not really sure about that.
Yeah,
but
that is that's a CIA question.
Yes, yes. But Kirby's answer to that, to a fan who asked in Macon, was that I think there's been this media portrayal that he left because of frustration over NIL. That's not really true. The man was in his 70s. That's the direct quote. The man was in his 70s. And then when I followed up and asked about what Kirby thinks about the state of things, he gave those quotes that you read, that he's, you know, that he doesn't sense that coaches are leaving anymore for the NFL than they used to. And some coaches are going from the NFL to college. He also pointed out there's a lot of money in college coaching. But, you know, look, if Kirby decided next year that he's had enough and he's retiring, that would mean he's got enough money. I'm not saying he's going to. I don't think he is. But, you know, it's just an interesting question. It's just yet another facet of everything that's changing, Paul, in college sports right now. The world is changing under our feet all the time in college sports. And yeah, college coaches are dealing with a lot of it on the ground.
By the way, Kirby will probably make more money this year than most of us will ever see in our lifetime. So he could do that if he wanted to at $12 million a year. Talking to Seth Emerson about so many different topics. Seth, let me get a quick reaction. You cover the SEC, among others, and the story came out about an hour ago from the SEC that they're staying at 8 games. That was expected. That is not a bombshell. Yeah. A year ago, it may have been. Your thoughts on where they are now, how it looks from afar, and what is likely the future?
Well, in the immediate sense, the criticism is that they're being cowardly. They're not going to 9 games. I would say if that's what you want to say about 2024 and 2025, then yes, feel free. But what they are doing within that 8-game schedule, and I haven't seen anything to indicate otherwise, but within that 8-game schedule, every SEC team both years is playing who would be their 3 permanent opponents in a 9-game schedule. That to me indicates, and the fact that they're just flipping their 2024 opponents and doing them home and home, that indicates to me that 9 games is still very much on the table for 2026 and beyond. I think Greg Sankey wants that. I think he wants to get to 9 games. He wants to get his presidents there. He hasn't been able to get enough of them there yet. But to go back to what we're saying about the college landscape is changing by the day, you don't know what college sports is going to look like in 2026. Like, we're still not sure if it's going to be a 12 or 14 game playoff format and what it's going to look like within that format starting in 2026. You've got Clemson now joining Florida State in suing the ACC to get out of the grant of rights. I don't think the SEC wants Florida State or Clemson right now, but what happens to the ACC? Like, as soon as North Carolina becomes a free agent, then, you know, all bets are off. So who knows what the landscape looks like 2026 and beyond. So they're, you know, they're being careful about it. But yes, they are sticking with 8 games in 2024 and 2025. I think 9 games would be better. A lot of people feel that way, especially in a conference with 16 teams. You do run the risk of having some inequitable schedules and some teams with records that just, you know, don't really reflect how good they are, because one team's schedule is a lot harder than another's and they play whole different teams. You've got tiebreaker possibilities for whoever makes the SEC championship that could be chaotic, but it is what it is. They're stuck at 8 games for these next 2 years at least.
Seth, you mentioned the Clemson situation. Not quite as much rhetoric, not quite as much frat party drunken stupor as we heard from Florida State, yes, but still pretty significant, and there's no way to paint a pretty picture of the ACC. So knowing that time is running short, what can this league do? And if they can't do very much, what does it look like down the road?
Well, it's almost like the ACC has kind of painted itself in a corner. It can't be just coincidental that they announced this right after everything was put in writing about the revenue for the new playoff format. We don't know whether it's going to be 12 or 14 starting in 2026, but we do know that the revenue is going to be tilted towards the Big Ten and the SEC, and the ACC and the Big 12 are going to be lower. Well, that kind of just serves it up for Clemson joining Florida State to now say, hey, you know, it is now officially in writing, this is not as good a conference. That doesn't mean they'll win the grant of rights, but I mean, if you're the ACC and schools that want to stay in the ACC, you're hoping that you still have a majority that want that, because most people think that it would take a majority to get together and get out of the grant of rights, and failing that you're going to win in court and say, look, you signed this, nobody made you sign this, and you need to adhere to this grant of rights. Otherwise, yeah, that's obviously the next big realignment wave, and it could be a wave, and it's sad. I grew up an ACC person, a school now in the Big Ten, probably identify what school that is by the description, and it's sad, but it's yet another thing that has been affected by realignment.
Seth, let's talk about the two right now that we know are up for bid, and there will be more, but in terms of Florida State and Clemson, do you think, without being able to predict the future, but just today, knowing that they fit, but that's not really what we're talking about here, which one is more likely to end up in the SEC, and what does the future look like for the other if they don't both look likely headed this way?
Well, they seem a package deal for wherever they go, which means, in terms of realignment, nothing we think is right, so they won't be a package deal. But they both are in the footprint of current SEC schools, and they both honestly have their brands aren't that far off. You know, Florida State's brand was great. Clemson's brand got improved by winning those national titles. Now Florida State's a little bit better, but so they seem the same. Like, if the it's almost like a game of chicken here, where if they are both free agents, the SEC doesn't seem to be improved by taking them, since they have teams in those areas. Not only is Clemson in the same state as South Carolina, but they're a short drive from Georgia, from Athens. But if the Big Ten decides it is interested in them and it does want to spread into the South, into the deep South, right into the SEC's territory, is that when the SEC says, okay, we can't let that happen? And I think that's the question, along with the first question is whether they can get out of the grant of rights and what happens with that. The second question is, does the Big Ten want them? And does that cause the SEC to move? But I think that's interconnected, Paul, with everything going on in college sports. And what does this look like? For instance, the Big Ten and the SEC are now working much closer together, Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey, than much more closer than the
SEC. And so if I can jump in here for a second, you have to wonder, as much as we think that was about the CFP money, Greg Sankey is a visionary. He knows the due date is coming for the ACC. You wonder if that wasn't more of a defensive move. Hey, listen, let's not get taken by these schools. Let's work together here.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. On the other hand, Greg Sankey also worked with Bob Bowlsby, putting together the 12-team playoff in secret.
Right.
And then a month later, took Texas and Oklahoma from Bob Bowlsby.
I don't need to educate you on that story. You covered it. But
yeah.
Let me just throw a final just jump ball question. Assuming that a year from now, the ACC with a significantly less exit fee is available, and schools can take a shot and go elsewhere, who is or are the most likely from the ACC that the SEC not would forget that? Who do you think the SEC would covet the most?
Oh, North Carolina, then maybe Virginia. Just for Virginia's package deal, but they're not as strong in football, obviously, not anywhere near as strong as Florida State and Clemson. So then does Florida State and Clemson's brand surpass?
But Seth, you're talking about something that, and I think this is an important answer you gave, but we're not talking about the best football programs. The SEC has plenty of those. We're talking about the state university in two monster states, North Carolina and Virginia.
Yeah, but I'm not sure Virginia gives you D.C., for instance. Some would say that, but it does get you a little further. I would wonder whether they would take North Carolina and Duke together.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep that rivalry together. But I don't know. This is so far-flung. But I just the only thing I know with confidence is that North Carolina is the
believe you're right about that. But I think the mystery is who else. And I also think the mystery could be who would North Carolina like to draft with?
Yeah,
NASCAR phrase.
I think that would be the key. They would go. Someone would go to North Carolina and say, "We will let you name your partner," and that might be what happens.
Yeah. Well, we'll put that off for another day because there's too much else going on today. Seth Emerson, thank you very, very much. Always great to have you.
Thank you, Paul.
We have a lot to do, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. Steve is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Steve. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I want to talk about Nick Saban. First of all, Nick Saban became famous because he's a coach. And coaches like to develop players. And he lost that with the kneel and the transfer portal. He wasn't able to develop players because they was wanting to play or to transfer or get or go elsewhere for more money. And I just think that the we're just losing what we love so much in our years in college football because we're losing all that. And that's just and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. And you're 100% correct. Vance is up next in Georgia. Hello, Vance.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Real quick, I wanted to tell you that this young man you interviewed from the University of Tennessee yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. That guy personified everything that's great about college athletics. Hard to not pull for that young man.
He was fantastic.
He was impressive. So anyway, Paul, I am not readily admitted. I am not a knowledgeable college basketball fan. But I was interested in if you saw what I did. Of course, I watched the SEC tournament. This is the time of year when I watch basketball. And I noticed, and I watched some of the Big Ten and others, but the one team that's carried the flag for our conference since the 50s, Kentucky, I was interested in their game because apparently they were on a hot streak. Paul, they ignored setting up an offense. They ignored trying to score in the paint. It was three-point bombs or foul shots, and I was really disappointed in their performance and the way they looked. And I'm curious, you know the Kentucky faithful, I don't, but I never call for a coach. I guess that was a big lie, but I don't like
well,
that.
Let me jump in here for a second, Vince. I know where you're going, and I think the next 2 weeks are critically important for John Calipari because should he bomb out early in the tournament, I think the heat is going to be ratcheted up. We had Kyle Tucker on the other day, who is a great writer who covers Kentucky for The Athletic, and he said exactly what I said in harsher terms. I tend to believe in Cal. This time of the year, I've been proven wrong for about 7 years in a row. But I think he has a lot on the line because if he can't get it done in March now, and I don't put any weight on the SEC tournament because if he makes a long run in the national tournament now, what happened in Nashville will be forgotten about immediately. He's not the only one who bombed out. Alabama bombed out. Tennessee bombed out. Fans care about that. It's a trip to Nashville, which they spent a lot of money for and they're invested, but they care a lot more about what happens over these next couple of weeks. Thank you very, very much. Jace is in Augusta, Georgia. Hello, Jace.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to address my buddy from Matt. Out there in Texas. The thing about it is people want to put him down. Is he going to be an ambassador at the UN? Probably not.
Yeah, how about
but
no?
Your staff was kind enough to give my number to him, and Matt and I have talked on several different occasions and texted, and I'm just tired of Squirrel or Daryl putting down Matt. This young boy, and I say that because I'm 57, and I've got two kids older than he is. Y'all lay off this kid. He has a full freaking plate right now. So lay off of him and let him do his thing.
Well, number one, Jace, I want to thank you very much for taking an interest in Matt. I have another close friend who has done something like that. And one thing about this show, and this is not a commercial because we don't really do that, but it's
right.
self-evident that we have an interesting group of people here. It's a collection of people from all over the country, most of whom do not know each other, but end up having experiences like what you just discussed. And that's something that all of us here take great pride in. You're doing something very, very commendable. He's a young man who means well, who has issues like a lot of young people. I had similar issues when I was younger. You probably did. Somebody has to help you, and fortunately, we got through it.
I'm 57 years old, and I got issues.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm older than you, and I have serious issues right now.
Yeah.
And you know what my biggest issue is? I am naive enough to take a call from a guy who hates me every time he calls in and tries to demonize me. But I like you, hope that maybe we can provide something for that guy, and maybe when he calls in spewing his venom, others hear that and maybe want to help someone like you have just expressed to us. So we are in your debt. Thank you very, very much for what you've done for Matt. Jim is up next. Not that one.
Paul.
In Denver.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. We're happy to have you here.
I am a Longhorn alum and a former walk-on way back in Fred Akers' day, if you remember that guy.
Of course.
So excited to join the SEC. And in the spirit of bracketology, my buddy and I take one big road trip every year. We're doing Michigan this year. Coming up. But I need your final four on road trips to the SEC. Now, I won't make you put them in order, but your final four, is it Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, South Carolina? What's your advice?
Yeah, hey, Jim, help me with Texas' schedule. So we don't know Texas' schedule beyond this year. But I've been everywhere, as you can imagine. I try to take my own personal biases out of it because I grew up, and when I was in college and for many, many years, the most important game in my life was the Alabama-Tennessee game. That changed a little bit when I moved to Alabama. But so for Texas, I think there are a number of places you could go and be truly entertained. I would start with Georgia because in 25, Texas will play at Georgia.
Yep.
We learned that today. Who else? I'm trying to remember Texas's schedule.
It's not great the first year for road games, which is why we're going to Michigan.
Is Texas playing LSU this year? Oh, here it is. Okay.
No.
I'm going to give you Texas' schedule next year. So you're already in Michigan. So your games next year will be at Georgia, at Mississippi State, at Kentucky, and at Florida. I have to put Athens number one on my list for next year. That is going to be a monster game. You may have you will likely almost certainly have two playoff contenders. You may have two Final Four contenders. So that's where I would go next year. It's pretty easy to get to. You're in Denver, so it's a matter of getting to Atlanta and driving for an hour and 10 minutes to Athens.
You the man. Who are
now
the
after that?
Who are
the, after that, it really depends because the schedule in 26 is going to look completely different. I've always been partial to Baton Rouge on a Saturday night. You don't always know it's a Saturday night, but you will. We're going to know a lot farther out than we used to, based on the control of the schedule. I think Alabama is an amazing place. Tennessee, Auburn. I mean, I'm not going to go to and say every place is the best, but I've given you a couple of very good ones right there.
You're the man.
And of course, if you like just having the lunch of your life, I would recommend the Grove in Oxford.
I've heard that as well. Just for all your SEC viewers, Austin's a super friendly place, passionate fans,
yeah,
friendly
Jim, in
people
fact,
come
I am,
to Austin.
I'm going to be in Austin next week for something. I've got to go down there and interview somebody. So I've been there. I've done Austin, but I cannot wait to get there again. And I'll report back next week on my first trip to Austin since Texas. Actually, I was in Austin last year briefly, but my first significant trip to Texas since Texas has been in the SEC. We'll take a short break. We have a lot to do, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Ricky is in Mississippi. Hello, Ricky.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I got a couple of comments about saving, and then I want to talk about state in the tournament. I agree with what's the guy you interviewed, Tuchmeyer?
Blake Tuchmeyer.
Yeah, I agree with certain parts of what he said that, you know, that Saban, I think a lot of people take it the wrong way what he was saying as far as him not being cut out. I mean, you know, you think about what he you know, his legacy is developing players, and it takes time. That takes more than 1 year. And the way that the landscape is now is that, you know, the players could be there 1 year and they're gone. And I think that in that sense, I understand why Saban, you know, I mean, he likes that control. You have to have that to develop players, and I think loyalty is another thing where he said that things are not where they were when he started, you know, and loyalty to the school that you go to, because the players that he was developing, they wanted to be there because they wanted to be they felt like this is the place I need to be at to make it to the next level, and now you got other schools that can do the same thing. And can possibly pay them more money, you know. And if you know, Ohio State, you know, it's, you know, with what's his name, Caleb Downs, I think his name.
Caleb Downs.
You know, that dynamic is kind of lost with Nick Saban, I think, you know, because you can't develop players in 1 year in his system, you know. And so I know fans get offended, but when people say that he's not cut out, but I don't think he wants to be in that type of landscape, because you can't fit his system like that, and everybody has their way of doing things, and you know, so I think in that sense I agree with what he said about that part, you know. So but as far as state is concerned, I'm glad that they made the tournament. You know, I'm not looking, you know, for them to go too far, I guess. But I mean, but you never know, because matchups does matter. You know, I think they played the other MSU, so I, So I don't know how that's going to turn out, but the prognosticators are already saying that, you know, they're going to lose. You know, if they do get past Michigan State, they'll lose to Arizona. So, and I think that team likes that being on the radar. I think they love to have that chip on their shoulder. And they're in the same bracket with Alabama, and that doesn't bode well with them because they lost to Alabama twice this year. But that's another thing I want to talk about with them. And they kind of built for tournaments like this because they kind of been battle-tested. You know, in the SEC, look at all the teams that they had to play twice. They had to play Alabama twice, play Auburn twice, South Carolina twice, and then they had to play Tennessee. You know, and fortunately, I mean, you know, they seem like they kind of have Tennessee number, but, you know, they beat them twice. So, I mean,
hey, Ricky, you know. Thank you very, very much. Such a pleasure to talk to you. We are up against the break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.